Hi, I'm Robert Brand and I work for Pluscoms, and as part of that we have an aerospace division where we're doing a lot of innovation and dragging a lot of people into the space sector here in Australia, kicking and screaming actually. But as far as the work we're doing, we've got a mission to Mars in 2020 called Median, and it's a UK mission, and we have to help land some probes on Mars. We have to have them communicate and also locate where they are. And we've also been contracted by the company that's part of that owns Team Stellar. So it's a Google Lunar X Prize project, and I'm the Director of Spacecraft Communications, Navigation and Data.
Robert, what do you think of Australia's satellite utilisation policy that's just been released?
The satellite utilisation policy is an important step forward. I think it's a good start towards what I'd like to see it ultimately become over the next few years. They had to start somewhere, and they had to start with what was going to produce the most dollars, and you know, that's really good. It's going to benefit a lot of companies and get a lot of action going here in this country. On a personal level, I'm a little disappointed that it didn't have more on the innovation side of things, because my particular company is all about innovation and it's all about work further out than Earth orbit. So I would have really liked to have seen more words about that. There's a couple of words kicking around about innovation within the policy, but it's nothing specific. And basically, if there was any money in the future put forward for space, it would probably be linked very thoroughly to the few bullet points such as GPS and that sort of area that they talk about right up front. I'd like to see that expanded, because yes, we can make a lot of money in the short term, which this policy is all about, but it doesn't really address the long-term things such as innovation and the vast amounts of money that innovation can bring in over time.
Did that surprise you, given that the department this report came out of, or the policy came out of, has innovation in its title?
Look, nothing surprises me, actually. And basically, I think there was a lot of political push to have space taken out of the name of this policy. And, you know, there's a lot of things happening in politics. We're about to have a new election. Things will change. I've spoken to the Shadow Ministry on a lot of aspects of this policy and what they're going to do about things in the future. And, you know, they'll support this policy well and truly. They're behind that as much as the current government is. But, of course, money's going to be the big issue in the future. And so they have to do what they can do with the finances available. And it's going to become tighter. I'm just pleased, first of all, that the people that are working in the space policy section are probably going to have a job in this new policy group, this new group that's going to be continuing, because you know, there's a lot of great people working at that group I was very concerned about. So it looks like there's a future for most of them. It looks like there's a steps forward to get things going. But you know, my company's developing a navigation system for spacecraft leaving the Earth, and you know, how's that going to benefit from this particular policy? Not much, but things such as the contact points for the work we're doing, those databases of capability statements are all going to be very important for my company in the future. So it's you know, it's a great step forward. I really can't complain about the fact that we have a policy now. I just wish it was personally a little broader for my company.
That's the first time we've had a proper space policy, isn't it? We've had heaps and heaps of reports about space and what we should do.
It's a proper satellite utilisation policy, I do point out. And it does address some space issues outside of those Earth orbit points. But we state very clearly in there that, you know, it's not about astronauts, it's not about this, that and the other and going to the moon and so on. But to me, it is about going to the moon with robotic craft, and it is about a whole lot of things that are not in this policy and actually sort of denied a little bit in the policy, that we're not about launching rockets. And sure, we're not going to launch a rocket from Australia in the short term, but, you know, we're, as a group, Team Stellar are going to be launching a rocket at some stage, and I have to equip it with the right navigation systems. Some of those will be off the shelf, and One of them will be actually home designed, and we have another innovation to do with GPS, and it may actually fall under the this new policy arrangements, but I'm not sure what it'll do for us. I've yet to see how this all benefits all these people, because that hasn't been made clear yet. Just the policy is there, not the mechanisms for furthering the policy to actually make it do something realistic for the companies that are there. We've yet to see how that all pans out. And as I said, money will be so tight that it may be a very, very small action from the government just to represent us in some small ways around the world and try and kickstart a bit of innovation. You know, some money, yeah, well, that's going to be a couple of years away before I think we'll see money tossed in the bin to try and kickstart some interesting projects. But once it does, we'll be in there, boots and all, with some of the things that we're designing, I'm sure.
Do you think it's a good idea for us not to go into an expensive thing like trying to develop a rocket or trying to do, you know, to big ticket satellite project? Rather, the idea seems to be to spread this spending around, particularly on ground projects, things like remote sensing analysis and so on.
Well, a lot of it is about just processing data in new and novel ways and making it better than whatever's out there from other countries. What I would like to see, though, is that we do help launch rockets, that we do help with guidance system, we do help with tracking and communications. All of those things are doable. So, no, I don't think we should be building a rocket. We could provide a launch facility for some rockets, and we already do at Woomera, but they're small rockets, and let's not confuse the capabilities of Woomera with the mainstream. It's a bit like saying, hey, Woomera's, I think the minister said Woomera's the second busiest site in the world for launching, but, you know, that's like saying Bankstown's one of the busiest airports in the world too, but, you know, nothing much other than a six-seater gets up out of Bankstown, and nothing big will get out of Woomera for a long time. To launch a rocket, you need to have the infrastructure, like, you know, fuel and lots of water, and they don't have lots of water, so these things have to be put in place before anything serious goes up from Woomera in the near term. What I'd like to think, though, is that until that sort of area develops more, that we do components of the launch, components of the rockets. There's no reason why we can't build very innovative components for all of this stuff, and that's where our services lie, because we can't just go out there and fund the building of a large object. Yeah, maybe we can build small satellites. There's nothing stopping us doing these sorts of projects. I'm very pleased where my company's gone. There's other companies like Sabre, I've forgotten the last name, Sabre, who are doing a lot of work in Sydney. They're certainly developing components for spacecraft. They've supplied one to the Indian group, putting up a satellite shortly, and at the end of the satellite's life, their little unit will be activated and deployed, and it will actually help it return very quickly back into the Earth's atmosphere and burn up rather than remain space junk for a long time.
That was one of the things mentioned in the report, was didn't say we'd actively track space materials. It didn't say that we would do anything practical about it, but that we would negotiate agreements to mitigate the problem, in other words, to prevent the problem getting worse.
Yeah, I guess we need to clarify some of these things and what the government actually means and wants to do with all of this. And I would say this is a fluid document that will change with time. So while we might have a focus today on a certain area, if that area fails to develop, it'll be modified. I can't see the government thinking this is set in concrete at all. So we need to watch out that as opportunities change, this policy needs to change, and I believe it will. So we may concentrate on other things if the government realise that, hey, this company over here is making a lot of money out of building navigation systems, and it's getting a lot of interest here in Australia about innovation in this area or that area, I believe that they then will start to change the focus of this document, and maybe it's not just going to be a satellite utilisation policy, it might be a satellite and spacecraft utilisation policy. Who knows?
Yes. Any chance that it would just be ignored?
This policy?
Yes.
No. No, it won't be ignored. For the first time ever, the politicians are realising that they've got to do something, because we are growing in the space sector and there is a higher demand. People are still not convinced that we have capability of doing a lot, and the government is therefore not convinced. And it's a matter of a lot of the space companies like my own knocking on the door of the politicians saying, hey, you know, we're going to help land an Australian flag on the moon in 2 years' time, and that's going to stimulate a lot of interest. And once you people realise that, hey, this company is doing things that are quite amazing, it's going to change the perception out there in the general public.
So people like Senator Kate Lundy, have they been helpful in this?
Their department's definitely been helpful, but again, it's not changed anything, because they were waiting till this policy comes out before they're prepared to really talk about anything much. It's the usual thing that when something's imminent and it's been set as, you know, that point in time. So no, I haven't had a lot of success in talking to anyone until the policy has been put on the table. It has now, and I'll be starting to work with that straight away. But, you know, it's not the space policy unit that worries me on, say, the development of a navigation system. What worries me is whether the Department of Defence is going to be happy with us having a navigation system and being able to export that, because if they think in any way it's going to be used for a military purpose, then we won't be able to export it whatsoever. And that's difficult. Even on our own rocket scheduled for the moon in 2015, we won't be able to do it because it'll have to leave this country. And I think we have to work at a number of levels to try and smooth this over, and that's what this department hopefully will be able to do for us, to make this sort of coordination between defence, communications for this sort of equipment, all flow very easily and smoothly, so that we have a coordinated approach to getting these projects off the ground. Because we have to build a 30-metre dish here in New South Wales, and that 30-metre dish is going to want to be able to transmit and receive at X and S band, and we're going to have to thus be able to get licences for that, and we're going to have to find a place to put it that won't be have too much splash over into other communities for a whole lot of reasons, because otherwise it increases our the cost of our licence and so on. So we need to work with these people to really understand what the risks are in the future, because they may turn around in 2 years' time and say, oh, all that work on X-band, now we've got customers who want to put in broadband using X-band, and if they do that, now our licence fees will go up. So what the department has done in recent times is create an area in northern New South Wales where a lot of these dishes can be placed, and that they're going to keep that stable. But so if you decide to put your dish somewhere else, you take a risk. But northern New South Wales isn't necessarily the best place for the dish that I'm looking at to be placed. Now, you've got higher communications costs, you've got longer travel to get there. I'd like to place it within a couple of hours of Sydney so that we can service this thing quite easily if there's a problem. We've got a dish in California that will be coming online soon, another 30-metre dish. So again, you know, manning these sorts of technologies overseas, we have to now actually work with the US to get licences through and things like that as well. And, you know, we've got ATAR issues as a team. So it goes beyond just the space policy unit and what they can do for us. We've got international things we've got to worry about. So to some degree, the space policy unit is more about growing ourselves within Australia, but there is an international community that they would like us to help, you know, help make contact with. But we find that we're already out there with those communities and well known overseas anyway. We're looking for the ability to get our products, you know, going faster through smoothing out the whole process of all this interaction here in Australia, I guess, because that's already being done overseas for us by the US and so on. We need to have the Australian government, just as this grows, invest more in it.
Money.
I guess staffing or time or opportunities would be the thing, you know, representing us saying, hey, Australia has a lot of ability and we need to have that ability really broadcast to the rest of the world. But, you know, I'm at conferences all over the world. I'm at two conferences in May. The word's out there about us on the international scene and what we're doing, and it's going to surprise a lot of people this year when I talk at Space Fest or ISDC in May about how far we've progressed in such a short time. And that's quite amazing, because last year we had no space missions when we went to Space Fest. Now we have two that are firmly on the table with funding and growing. Now, whether they either of them actually get to the end and get into space is always questionable. But right now, we've got funding to do stuff. We've got projects that are actually going through trials right now. We've just had one go through a trial in Morocco for testing methane. That's the Median project. And we've got another trial coming up in the UK for methane with that same thing. With all of that, you know, these things are happening outside with these large groups. So there's a lot of people handling the processes, and you know, this will come back now. Once the experiment passes muster, further funding will come, and then we have to then grow all those products, such as landing probes on Mars. That's my job. And then having them communicate, and then having them locate themselves on Mars so we know exactly where they are. That's really got to get through a lot of green lights before we'll actually ever fly that mission. But nonetheless, we've got to work towards it now as funding's there for it. And if we do pass all those lovely traffic lights with green lights all the way, we will fly. And we'll fly in 2020. So I guess the Space Policy Unit, to me, is less of a hurdle, because these things are coming my way purely by being out there in the real world, letting people know what we're doing. And that's really part of what the Space Policy Unit will be doing for other companies, letting them know capabilities. And there's databases that I've been actively contributing to over the past few months and about capabilities of that. And that'll be now interactive and ongoing. If the Policy Unit had disbanded totally, then I was concerned that these would become static databases that would get out of date. But now, with this ongoing group, slightly different name, I believe that it's going to be great. I can add new products to it, and I can keep what my company does up to date, and people will actually go to that database for active and current information.
One of the essential, well, one of the points in the satellite utilisation policy is that the government would act as a coordinating agency to disseminate the information between the different groups that are actually doing things in Australia here.
Yes, I think contact between groups and opportunities to let other companies know what you're doing is also important. Only yesterday I spoke with this company, I think it's Sabre Astronautics. I know Jason held the head of that company very well, and we've made arrangements to meet with each other to see how we can help each other grow both our companies. And this is what we need to do as a country. We need to have that interconnectivity. We need to have conferences, get-togethers. And this has happened in the early formulation. A couple of years ago, I was at conferences so that the current space policy group could get an idea of really what all the companies were doing out there, because they had no knowledge. Before the policy group was actually formed, the Department of Innovation, etc., was basically trying to find out who was out there and what they were doing. And as part of that, I was quite intrigued to find out from the people in the meeting I was in exactly what was going on. It was quite amazing, and they found out things they didn't even know about at all. And you know, since then my company was formed, and now it's doing all this other stuff. And thus, if my company can grow so quickly, other companies can do that as well. And who knows what's going on out there. And I look forward to seeing this database firsthand to find out who's out there and what they're doing, or get-togethers where we can talk and just see how we can all grow and form our alliances with other companies to either create new products, which are maybe a merging of two products that different companies are putting together, or how we can benefit from one company hears about an opportunity and says, oh, it's not us, but I know exactly who you can contact. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that a coordination role part of what the Australian Space Office used to do, or was supposed to do?
Well, it did, but I guess I'm looking for more than what they were doing. I'm looking for an improvement in that, and having an opportunity to meet and greet at a variety of functions that they might put on, hopefully very cheaply, that some other groups can sponsor, and just basically do what a lot of different organisations and associations do for their members, just about, and have that speakers and so on. I mean, conferences would be something I'd like to see on a general space basis rather than just conferences on asteroid mining or whatever. I'd just like to see that sort of promotion out there within Australia, and with that, having people from overseas coming to those conferences occasionally, a lot of expertise will get heard about around the world.
Oh, thanks for joining us on the Space Show.
My pleasure, anytime.